done. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning. We're so glad to see you on this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And we want to welcome each and every one. Thank you for taking time out of your summer schedule. I know some folks have been away over the last week or so, but we're glad to see some of you back again. And we want to welcome all of you. We're praying that God's grace and presence will touch your life today as we share together in worship. And hopefully, a little bit later on, we're going to be looking at something Paul asks us to do there at the very beginning of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and that's to walk worthy of the calling that we have on our lives as followers of Christ. And so I ask the question, how do we walk as people worthy of our call? So we'll talk a little more about that later on, but as we begin our worship, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship there in the bulletin. Rejoice, people of God. Christ is in our midst.
He has Jesus and fill us with hope.
Rejoice, friends. Christ is the bread of life.
Free us, Jesus, from those things that do not satisfy.
Sing for joy, people of God. In Christ, we have been made whole.
Thanks be to God.
Well, let's join together, and we're going to sing our opening hymn there, hymn number 30, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're going to be singing the first three verses there this morning. Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. God of majesty and mystery, we gather before you in humble wonder. Your grace defies our explanations, And you touch us when we least expect it. Receive our praise and prayers this day, and prepare us to receive the bread of life. For we come to you in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated, and I'm going to invite our kids this morning to come down. Doing that lately. I keep forgetting. I've been talking about that, how to walk according to what God has called us. And so I was thinking about that today. And how do we walk? And what I mean by walk is how do we live? Yes. I think we all know how to walk, don't we? Yeah. Okay, I got you. You can turn the sarcasm level down a little bit. But anyway, in the New Testament, when we talk about walking with the Lord, we're talking about living as Christians, following Jesus. And when we're following Jesus, how do we do that? How do we live as Christians? What? Okay, yes. Part of that is praising Jesus. Yeah, praising God. All of those aspects. What are some other ones? You got praise. What would be another key word?
Pray.
There you go. Pray. Yeah, that's another way that we do that. Because we can talk to God anytime we need to, can't we? I want to talk to you about one that you may not think of very often. And I'll just say something about this real quick. How many of you like to get gifts at Christmas or for your birthday? Come on. Yeah. Make those eyes even big. Yes. Yep, yes, and that's true. Because that's the thing about gifts. We often think, wow, I got this gift, wow, I can keep it, and it's mine, everything else. But in the Bible, when it talks about gifts, it always talks about something God gives to us so that we can give back. And so, when Charlie just said that about being able to go out and look for gifts for others to give, that's what I want you to see, because another way that we live as Christians is God has gifted us, and He's gifted us with these abilities in our lives. Now, sometimes we don't always know what those are, by the way, but I think sometimes as we get older, we start to realize what some of those gifts are. Like, let me give you an example. I sang in the choir when I was a kid, your age, Jace's age, for our Christmas program at church every year. Because when you were little, you played in the Christmas play part. You were the shepherds or the sheep or whatever it was. But as you got older, like Jace got into 6th, 7th, and 8th, you were the choir. So you had to sing little Christmas hymns in between little things that went on the Christmas play. So I sang in that and didn't think anything of it. But it wasn't until I was 16 when I realized, because I had no clue. You know how you are as kids. Oh, stop singing. I don't want to, you're hurting my ears. You know, those kind of crazy things that we sometimes say. I didn't know until I was 16 that I could sing. Or at least somebody said, you have a really good voice. You should start to sing. And there I found one of my gifts. And then a little bit later on, I found out some other gifts that I had. And so God has given each of you gifts. Now you may not know them all yet, but one day you will discover those. And when you do, you use those. And that's another way that we worship and serve God and walk and follow the Lord. And it could be all kinds of things. Sometimes those gifts are connected to what we call our vocation, what we're going to do for a living. So let's say you have gifts of mercy and compassion, and guess what you end up doing for a job in the future? You're a nurse. See how those two go together? Because if you've got to help patients in the hospital every day or the nursing home, you've got to have lots of compassion and mercy, don't you? Yeah, so you never know what it could be. And then other things too, And so that sometimes they go together. But that's another way that we serve God. So just think about that. It's maybe a long way off yet before anything, but remember, but you can use your gifts now. Sometimes kids have gifts that they don't always know about, but when they find them out, they use what they're able to do. Whether you're artistic or you can sing, or whatever else it may be. Okay? All right. You can go on back to your seats today.
And I'm going to invite us all to join together as we go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Someone this morning. Yeah. Okay, yes. And I was wondering about that too. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll make some decisions on that. But yeah, so we want to pray for Bonnie as she's recovering still. Someone else. I was going to say, they might have to give me a sedative because I don't think I could do that. I would start getting antsy after a while. Yeah, so we want to remember Greg and praying for God's healing touch for him and also a lot more. Yeah. I saw a couple other hands. Yeah. Well, thank God for that. Thank you for sharing that. What a blessing. Yes.
I have a joy and a concern. My grandparents from London, England, have been here for 3 weeks, which is a joy, but she leaves tomorrow to go back, so that's a concern.
What was the last part?
For me, it leaves tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But it was a blessing to be able to see. Yes. What a blessing that is. Yeah. Someone else. Oh, yes. Have we heard any more? Okay. I hadn't heard that update. Yeah. Yeah. After talking to Jill Wright, who kind of gave me the update on all that, I was like, yeah, yeah. So we want to remember the Southerly family. Tough time there. Tough times, yeah. So for God's grace and comfort. Someone else this morning. Yeah.
I got a message from Paul, and he says the COVID over there is lightening up a little bit, but they're still restricted. He has not been out his home almost over a year now.
Oh, my gosh.
So they're kind of getting stir crazy and would like to get out.
I can imagine. I can imagine. But there for a while, it was really, really bad in India. Yeah. So, and we want to continue praying for that. Someone else. Someone else. Anybody else this morning? Yeah.
I have several. Unspoken. We pray, Elise Jones, my son's grandma. She got her PET scan and she's full of cancer.
Hmm.
It's in her bowels and it's everywhere. So, anyway. The other one is Rick, it's all cancer. Rick Calvin, I've had to pray for him. They were focusing on the cancer in his legs, and now they found out there's cancer in his lungs. So.
Yeah, and sometimes the trick is finding where it started at, yeah.
And then the other one is my friend Barb, who I asked for, she had lumps under her arm, and it is cancer. So she's going to get the scan.
Is that lymph nodes? Okay.
She's going to get a scan to see if it's just there, so next week.
So. Okay. So lots, definitely. Needs there for Elise, she's been on our monthly list, battling cancer in several places, and Kathy was saying that it's everywhere now. Also for Rick, who has cancer spots in his lung and leg, and then Barb, who they did the testing on and found cancer in her lymph nodes under her arm, so. Want to keep all of those in our prayers. Anybody else? Yeah.
Penn is still having a tough time.
Want to continue praying for Betty, asking for God's touch for her. Anybody else this morning? Has anybody heard, because I have kind of been out of it for a couple days there, I talked to Barney early on in the week and was kind of getting some feedback, but then I didn't hear anything. The last I had heard, they were testing her because her blood pressure was elevated and they were wondering what was all going on. Has anybody heard an update on Priscilla?
Yeah, she had to go to the hospital and they did put the stent in and then she went home and the next day, and when I talked to her, she was
well, that's good then, because when I had talked to Barney last, they were concerned about more than her heart was a possibility of a stroke. So, okay. So the stent, was there a blockage then, and that pretty much fixed there? Okay. So we want to remember Priscilla, and thank God they were able to find that, and she is recovering now. And so we want to keep her in our prayers. And then has anybody heard an update on Ellie with her back or with that nerve? Anybody? Okay. So we want to continue to pray for her. Oh, sorry. That she
fell and broke her leg. It was on
Abby Howe had fallen and broken her leg? Oh, wow. Yeah, my wife's mouth is open because they talk about every day almost. Okay. Boy. We always joke with Abby and Jared because their kids in the last 2 or 3 years have had broken arms, broken legs, and then Abby ends up, wow, God bless them, man. So we want to remember Ellie and continue to pray for her with that, whatever's going on with her back and that nerve there. And it's sciatic related, isn't it? Yes. And the last time I had talked to her, I was getting the impression they were thinking it was inflammation oriented, but I hadn't heard if that's changed or if it's not that. So sometimes it takes a period of time to find out if that's true or not. But and then for Abby this morning, any others then? Yeah. So we want to remember Susie Overholser. Her husband Ken works for the United Methodist Camp, one of the directors for the state of Ohio, and has been involved in ministry for years. Appreciate your prayers for him. Any others this morning? Okay. I don't know how or how much family she has or anything, but if she, huh? Okay, so we want to remember the Cloan family and for the loss of, and some of you knew her, Pastor Cloan, from years ago. And then I saw, yeah.
Dad, he's not feeling well.
Okay. So we want to remember Mike in our prayers, asking God's touch upon him. Continue to ask your prayers for strength for Jody's dad, Bruce. Any others then? Yeah. Unspoken. So we have a couple of those this morning. And anybody else then? All right. Lots of needs today. Almost filled up the entire page. So some of those names strike you while she's playing. Just encourage you to lift those up in prayer today, there in your seats quietly, and then I will come and close us out. Pause this morning. We are grateful for the privilege that we are able to come to you in the name of Jesus. Through his power and name, Lord, the name above every name, that we are able to come and bring our requests, bring our intercessions, bring our needs, and bring the needs of others before you. And today we do that as we think about so many that have been mentioned today, Lord. We lift up those that need your healing touch and grace right now, Lord. We lift up Susie to you.
We lift up Bonnie to you. We lift up Greg to you. We lift up Mike to you. For Bruce today, for Elise today, for Rick, Lord, for Barb, Lord, for Betty, God, for Priscilla, for Ellie, for Abby. Lord, we just lift up every one of these names that was mentioned today. Lord, you know exactly their need, and you are able to work in their lives, and as only you can do. So we just ask for your grace and your healing touch for each of them, and that you would minister as through the doctors and nurses and others, and but also to touch them as we lift them up today. Lord, we also lift up some others today, the Cloan family, the Southerly family, with the loss of these loved ones. Lord, we just pray for your comfort, your peace, your grace today. Lord, we lift up these two unspoken needs today, Lord. We know that you know what those are. And Lord, we just lift those up to you today, asking that you would work there. And Lord, if there's anyone else today, Lord, that may be something that they've been carrying that's been heavy, something they couldn't share, Lord, we just pray that you will lift them up and minister to them as only you can. Lord, we continue to lift up our countries around the world. In India, we think about how bad the COVID virus has been. We ask for your touch there. And also here in places throughout the United States where we're starting to see the rise in the virus again in places with new outbreaks. And Lord, we're just praying for your grace. And we continue to lift up our first responders, our medical personnel, and all of those that are there on the front lines working, that you'll grace them and strengthen them in the midst of all of that. And Lord, we're thankful for your goodness in our lives. We ask your blessing upon the rest of this time of our service, Lord. As we break the bread of your word, may you speak to us. May you feed us. May you strengthen us and encourage us that we can be the people that you called us to be. And Lord, as we break the bread at the table of the Lord, may we find your grace and your strength and hope and forgiveness and grace there as only you can do, sending us forth to be your lights in the world for all that you've called us to do, that we can walk in your ways. And Lord, help us and give us strength each day to be able to do that as we go about our daily routines and businesses. Lord, we thank you for all of those things. And Lord, we pray and ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, this morning we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. We want to thank you for your faithfulness, and we know that we look to God as our provider, gives us the ability to work hard and make a living, and blesses us through different avenues so that we can be a blessing. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you.
Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. O Lord, may these gifts truly become instruments of your purposes here in your church, community, and around the world. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated this morning. God bless you, Esther. When I got the offering plate from her, hers was like three times as heavy as the Linda's side because somebody had dumped a boatload of coins on that side. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from Ephesians once again, as we continue looking at the Ephesian lectionary readings for this season. And we're going to be reading the first 13 verses. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you have received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one spirit, just as God called you in one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. God has given his grace to each one of us, measured out by the gift that is given by Christ. That's why scripture says, when he climbed up to the heights, he captured prisoners and he gave gifts to people. What does this phrase, he climbed up, mean if it doesn't mean that he had first gone down into the lower regions, the earth? The one who went down is the same one who climbed up above all the heavens so that he might fill everything. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. His purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up of the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. God's goal is for us to become mature adults, to be fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of our mouth, or the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, a Catholic priest, a Baptist preacher, and a rabbi all served as chaplains to the students of a northern university. They would get together two or three times a week for coffee and talk shop. One day, someone made the comment that preaching to people isn't really all that hard. The real challenge would be to preach to a bear. Well, one thing led to another, and they decided to do an experiment. They would go into the woods, find a bear, preach to it, and attempt to convert it to their part of the faith. 7 days later, they all come back to discuss their experiences. Father Flanagan, who had his arm in a sling and was on crutches, had various bandages on his body. And he said, well, I went into the woods to find a bear. And when I found him, I began to read to him from the catechism. Well, the bear wanted nothing to do with me, and so he began to slap me around. So I quickly grabbed holy water, sprinkled him, and said, Holy Mary, Mother of God, and he became gentle as a lamb. The bishop is coming out next week to give him his first communion and confirmation. Well, Reverend Billy Bob spoke next. He was in a wheelchair, had one arm and both legs in casts, and had an IV drip. He goes, well, in my best fire and brimstone sermon, he explained, you know, we Baptists, we don't sprinkle. So I went out and found me a bear, and I dunked him in the water and baptized his hairy soul. And just like you said, he became gentle as a lamb. Well, we spent the next day praising the Lord. Well, the priest and reverend both looked down at the rabbi who was laying in a hospital bed. He was in both casts and traction with IVs and monitors running in and out of him. And he was in really bad shape and they were really concerned. The rabbi looked up and said, "Looking back, circumcision may have not been the best way to start." I know that was kind of a long one, but if you know anything about Judaism, circumcision is the sign going into the covenant. So, I want to talk to you about the benefits of walking. The benefits of walking. Do you like to walk? Now, I know there are walkers in this church. It was interesting. I just happened to be looking on this week at the Mayo Clinic, and it asked the question, can you really walk your way to fitness? And the answer was, and this is really on the Mayo Clinic website. You can go there and look at it. You bet. Mayo goes on to list the benefits of a simple, brisk walk each day. And this is what it will do. Maintain healthy body weight, prevent or manage various conditions, including heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, cancer. Sorry, this is not an infomercial, so. But anyways, it goes on and on and on. It talks about all the benefits of that. Improving our balance, coordination, strengthening our immune system, reducing stress and tension, helping us sleep better, helping us with our memory, just all kinds of things. Well, in our reading today, Paul reminds the church of the benefits of our most basic calling. And what is that calling? Walking with the Lord. Walking with Christ. Now, as I was sharing with the kids earlier, walking is a metaphor in the New Testament for Christian living. Paul uses a word that means to walk. How many of you ever seen that Crocodile Dundee movie where he says, "I got to go think, so I'm going to go on a walkabout," you know, and they would just, and that's an Aborigine journey that they would go on to reflect on their life and different things. That's kind of the idea that's coming across here. And Paul is reminding the church, including us, to walk worthy of our calling. Now, part of walking worthy involves quite a few things, depending on where you read at, throughout Paul's letters. But I want to focus on two this morning that Paul seems to kind of hunker in on. And so let's begin by looking at those. First of all, part of walking worthy is walking in unity. Unity. Now, this is a big one for Paul. In fact, I remember this was years ago. I don't even know if I was in full-time ministry yet. And I was doing some studying of Paul's words or letters. And I started to get this impression about how important unity is as opposed to division in the body of Christ. And I told myself, I said, "Lord, I will leave a pastorate before I cause division in a church." Because I've been through a couple of these. You probably been there too. I've seen where pastors stayed until they split a church all up and almost destroyed the church. And if we would understand how important, or to use the Old Testament term, how much God abhors an abomination, division, and disunity is, we would understand how important the idea of walking with the Lord is, walking in unity, is all about. And Paul gives us a couple things here that I think are very helpful that I like and I think about often, especially the second one I'm going to tell you about here. But I'm going to start with the first one. Because this is what we, most Christians in the focus on first and primarily. We maintain harmony by living according to what we have in common. What we have in common. You say, what do you mean, Jason? What do you mean? What do we have in common? Well, Paul says we are part of one body, one spirit. Why? Because we share in common one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one hope. There you go. That's what we have in common. Is all of those things. It doesn't matter if you're Presbyterian, Methodist, United Church of Christ, Catholic, whatever. If you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, those things we have in common. We always do. And it's just part of it. And this is our common calling in Christ. This is what we usually hear people talk about when they say we unite around those things. Now, do we all believe exactly the same thing in some of those areas? Probably not. I mean, if you knew how many denominations were started because of various understandings of things, because of those areas, that those seven that I just mentioned, I think you'd be surprised. I remember sitting in a church history class, and our professor, Dr. Rausch, he told us how many Christian denominations there were in the world. I do not remember the number, so don't ask me, but I think my mouth dropped open when I found out how many different denominations there were in the world. You'd be shocked. And so this is what we have in common. But the second thing Paul talks about there is where it meets us in each of our churches. And this is what's so important. And I just want to take a moment to spend some time on this one. We maintain harmony by practicing four virtues. Some people call them graces. Some people have used other terms. And each of these terms that are mentioned there happen to be things that Christ walked in also. So isn't it understandable that we walk worthy of our calling by walking in these four virtues? What are they? Well, humility, gentleness, or sometimes it's translated in meekness, depending on your version, patience, and love. Love. But love is qualified, and I'll say something about that. So humility. What is humility? Well, humility in the Greco-Roman world, humility was not a virtue. In fact, nobody ever said walk in humility, because humility was a servant thing that servants did. And Paul, by the way, did you see how he started this chapter 4? I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. He's letting us know right off the bat that he serves the Lord. And Paul says the way we maintain harmony is we serve one another. We're servants. And that's because of humility. Someone once said humility is putting the needs of others first. Isn't that hard at times, isn't it? And I think our fast-paced rat race world, if I could say that right. Did I say that right? Yeah, I think I did. Pushes us to, we're just going so fast that if you got to slow down to think about others, don't you? You really do. Because you're just sometimes just trying to keep up with your own life at times and your family's life. But that old saying, I've heard it said many times, Christ first, others second, and who's third? Us, yeah, or me, yeah. And you probably heard it too. Now, what about gentleness or meekness? I heard somebody say this week a kind of an interesting definition. And I think I like this. Gentleness or meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. It's based on the old idea, and some of you that grew up on the farm with horses, of breaking a horse. Now, after they break a horse, is that horse weak? No. It's still just as strong as it was before. But it's strength under control. And that's what gentleness and meekness is all about. And we are strong enough that we can treat people with compassion and mercy and love in any situation that we find ourselves in. And then patience. Long-tempered. Long-tempered is what patience is. Long-tempered. Not short-tempered. We all know what that means, don't we? But long-tempered. In the Old Testament, they used a Hebrew word that says God is long-nosed. Long-nosed. It's metaphor meaning that God can put up, because anger in Hebrew thinking is the burning of the nose. Does your nose get red when you get angry? Sometimes our cheeks do. Sometimes our forehead wrinkles up in a certain way, you know. It means being long-tempered, that we're willing and able to put up with others for long periods of time. And then, so each one of those Paul gives is a single word. But the last one, love, which we're familiar with, he uses a phrase to describe it. And he says, accepting others in love. And there's other, you know, depending on which translation you read. And the idea, and this really struck me, and I think, isn't this what we really do? You know, when you think about your relationship with your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or whatever it may be, or that coworker that drives you nuts every day when you go there, is accepting them even though they're going to fail. Even though they're not going to live up to your expectation. Even though they're going to drive you crazy. Even though they're going to start to open their mouth and it's going to bug you. I'm just being real, aren't I? We've all been there. Our kids have probably drove us crazy when they're teenagers. You know, co-workers, our spouses, I mean, let's be real. You know, they got on our nerves many times at times. But accepting. Now, think about those. Paul says, if we walk in those things, then harmony is going to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's where it's at. Walking in these virtues is how the church preserves the unity of the Spirit, as Paul says in some other places. Walking in unity. Then the other one, as I shared with the kids, is walking in giftedness. Now, this is very interesting. So Paul basically jumps from unity to diversity because he knows that we all have differing gifts because we're all different. And that's the first thing I want you to see. Christ graces each of us. He pours his grace. Each one of us has received a measure of Christ's grace so that we can walk worthy. And I like this where it says, where Paul says, a measure of grace. There are times when Carla needs more grace than what others of us don't need at the time because of what she's facing in her life. Or I may need more grace in a situation than what you may need because of what I'm... So each one of us, and Christ is the one that gives us the grace to be able to go through and face or do whatever we need to do. Why? Because each one of us is unique and Christ graces us accordingly.
And that's what I want you to see. And then the other thing is Christ gifts each of us. Gifts each of us. As followers of Christ, we're all gifted. Did you know you're gifted? You are. Some are gifted for various reasons, or some are gifted to various vocations. And as I was telling the kids, sometimes those giftings go along with our vocation. And they help us to be able to excel in our vocations. Now, in the instance we read here in our reading today, Paul is talking about those that are gifted to help the body of Christ grow and flourish. We know it as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, as talked about there. But I want you to see this instead of focusing on those names, which most people do. I want you to see the point. Some people are gifted for equipping. Some people are gifted for helping. Some people are gifted for serving. Some people are gifted for leading. Some people are gifted for helping, giving. We could go on, because if you look at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about all these gifts, lots of different ones that the Lord gives to people to help in the church. And it's all about equipping and building up the church so she might grow in the fullness of Christ. I'm going to tell you a little story. I may not be able to tell you as good as Jody could, but I'll try to get it out here. So it's either this week or next week. Some of the ladies are going to the Do Good restaurant in Osgood. This ministry was originally started by the Holman family. And you can read it right on their website. I went there this week to verify some of this stuff. To bring people back to Christ Church. That's what it says right there. And to be a blessing to families in the community. Now, what we always hear see promoted is to be a blessing to families in the community, because they do that every month. Because when the ladies go there, your tip will go to whatever it's designated for that month to help a family in need in the community or area. But I was amazed by that thing about bringing people back to Christ Church. And it has grown substantially. But it all started with a walk. A walk with Christ. And a walk to promote unity and giftedness and to follow what the family felt like God was prompting them to do. Now, when Jody first shared this story with me, I have to admit I was skeptical about the whole thing. But after seeing it in operation, all I could say is, boy, God, you are good. Because here's this family out in the middle of nowhere in Osgood, Ohio, and that thing has just exploded. What an example of walking worthy of a calling. Walking does have benefits, both physical and spiritual. But the end results of spiritual walking are building up and edifying the body of Christ. Thank God for the benefits of walking. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts this morning as we are going to share in communion together. And I'm going to invite all of you to join with me if you would like to so do. Join together for our prayer of thanksgiving and confession as we share this morning. So if you would, please join with me on the PowerPoint there. As we share together in the one loaf, feed us and draw us in unity of heart in Christ Jesus. Create in us the oneness which embraces people in full measured Christian love.
Forgive us for our proud ways that keep us from the virtues of Christ. Refresh us and make us overflow with your peace as we sit together sharing in the one cup. By the grace of your Spirit, fill our lives with the grace of Christ, that our joy may be complete in him, our one Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, receive of his grace today as we share together. As our deacons and deaconesses come now, we're going to prepare. You don't have to be a member or a regular attender of this church to share at the table. We believe that the table is open and that Christ invites us to participate and receive of his grace today. So would you come as we receive today? Thank you.
gave thanks and blessed. So this cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it and do it in remembrance of me. Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. We'll just take a minute or so just to greet one another, shake a few hands, and then we'll sing our little chorus there at the end, and then we'll head on down for our fellowship time. This morning and sing our little chorus, one of my favorites we sing. We worship and adore you this morning. We're going to sing it through twice. We worship and adore you. Together for our benediction. The giver of life is among us and is calling.
We have been nourished by the grace of heaven.
Now go forth, and may the giver of life bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.